You're listening to a Lewis and Clark podcast. Visit us online at www.lclark.edu.
The Lewis and Clark Law Review is an academic journal that publishes original scholarship from across the Legal Academy. Like many law schools, Lewis and Clark's Law Review is edited and managed by the school's most outstanding law students. We sat down with the Law Review's top two editors, Aubrey Thomas and Leif Palmer Burns, to discuss the demands of overseeing the review and check in on the review's 2010 annual spring symposium theme, Who is the Reasonable Person? Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Aubrey, I think maybe we'll start with you if you want to talk a little bit about the demands of being an editor of a law review and what you find rewarding about the work.
Well, Lewis and Clark Law Review is a general law review, so we publish articles in all different areas of law. So we start out every year receiving about 300 submissions that we have a small group of editors review and determine whether we're going to publish articles and which ones we want to publish. We do four issues a year, which include 10 to 12 articles. So it is picking out of a lot of really great articles that we have, and so we do that, and then it goes through a very long editing process. It takes about 3 months. We have 60 members reviewing all of the articles, editing for grammar and for proper support for all legal assertions. So I am involved in kind of all of the different processes in doing that. So it is pretty time consuming, but I really enjoy it. It is a student-run organization. We get to work as a team, and I really enjoy that. And we also get to learn about a lot of different legal topics and cutting-edge legal problems that we probably wouldn't learn about otherwise, as well as improve our legal writing and citation abilities, which is going to help in the future. So that's what I really enjoy.
How about you, Leif?
Well, I really like the opportunity to actually be able to work and edit on these authors' articles. I really feel like I'm making a huge improvement to them. Not that they weren't fantastic articles to begin with, but there is a lot of work that goes into making an article publishable in a law review. A lot of re-verification of assertions that are made by authors. Occasionally finding some small mistakes or some sources that didn't quite say what the author thought it might have said. And we go over that with the author, and we try to make sure that when we do publish, we have something that we can really hold up and say, this is supported by a lot of authority, and we've guaranteed that it's good authority. And making something that I feel really proud about publishing and have a lot of confidence in is great, and working with a great team of people too. You can imagine as a staff of 60, it's a little bit of a challenge trying to get everything coordinated and working and in a really coherent final product. But when you get that out the door and you're actually holding the final printed version, it's really rewarding. It makes you feel like you've actually done something that is of value and will contribute to the community, the legal community, and that is really rewarding.
So it does sound a bit daunting, and I know that there are some critics who say that law students who are still in the midst of learning about legal analysis themselves, the idea that they should be or have the ability to put forth kind of, I guess, legal concepts or new legal ideas, some people find that a bit questionable. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that responsibility and what you think of that criticism.
Sure. You know, I don't think I can really speak towards as a national issue how it has affected the legal community, but I think I can speak towards my personal experience at Lewis and Clark. And even though it is a student-run journal and we do pick the articles and take them through the entire editing process all on our own, we have really great faculty advisors. So I know when we are reviewing all the articles, trying to determine what to publish, if we have an article that we are not sure about, we think it's really interesting, we don't know if it's going to be a valuable contribution, we can go to our faculty advisors who are experts in that area, and they will read it for us and give us their input of whether they think it's worthy of being published and whether it's saying something new or if it's kind of just saying something that's already been said before. So even though we are a student-run journal, we have so many great people that are willing to help us whenever we need it that I haven't felt like it's a problem. And secondly, I think it's important to remember that the purpose of law review is, yes, to have these articles that present new and interesting legal topics to benefit the community, but it's also to benefit the students. You know, we're learning about editing, about good legal writing, about supporting our assertions. So occasionally there might be an article that isn't saying something radical that's, you know, changing the legal community, but it's saying something interesting and good and also a great teaching tool for all of us that are in the law review.
And I'd also emphasize that the students are not the ones writing these articles. We're really trying to make the articles faithful to what the authors are saying. We don't want to edit the authors' articles with a heavy hand. We really have a light hand policy with editing.
So I think another criticism that some people have expressed is that law reviews in general don't seem to represent a diverse set of viewpoints in the legal community. And I was wondering if you could talk about what the submission process is like and how you decide which articles to accept.
Sure. Well, one of the great ways that we get articles are from our fall forum and the spring symposium. So whoever comes to speak will also publish an article based on their speech in our journal. So that is through faculty recruiting. They have speakers come, and so they get people that they know, and they know the work quality and how they do, and we publish them. So that's the main base where we get articles. From the open call submissions, we try to look for articles that are very well written and have good support so that they're easy to read, easy in putting forth their ideas, but then also are saying something new about the law as opposed to just reciting what has already been said in cases or in different laws. So we look for that. And then also just something that's interesting for us to read. You know, that's one of the benefits of being a student journal is that we pick things that maybe we don't get to read about in class that are really fun for us to work with. Since we do have to spend the whole semester reading it and editing it, we want it to be something fun. And then to determine which ones out of the ones that we like that fit all of that criteria, we either go to faculty advisors to get their advice to make sure that it's something that we really should be publishing. We look at if they usually send with us where they've published before. So we look at articles that they've published before, and we can kind of see what their work has been like in the past. You know, if they're an expert in their area, obviously we'd love to publish experts. So that also factors into it, though. You know, if it's a really great piece by someone who this is their first article, that doesn't really deter us either. So a lot of different factors go into the mix, but mostly just something that's really interesting that we're excited about working on is probably my main criteria.
So the Law Review holds an annual spring symposium, and this year's topic, Who is the Reasonable Person? Seems like a fairly provocative question for someone outside of the legal field. What is the concept reasonable person trying to address?
The reasonable person it's a legal fiction. It's this idealized person that we try to judge whether or not somebody, if they really rose to the standard of care that they needed to in a certain situation. So when we ask if somebody was a reasonable person in a certain situation when they were driving, we try to envision what a reasonable person in the situation, given all the circumstances that they had, what would that person be like? And this individual that we're trying to judge, does that person rise to that level or did they fail? Did they not get to that level? So in a criminal context or a torts context and a lot of different contexts, the reasonable person actually applies to a lot of different fields of law. It's this sort of legal fiction that comes from common law that really helps us judge whether or not somebody, how to judge an individual. Might imagine it a little bit like a physics. When you think of force equals mass times acceleration, there's sort of this idealized model. You think of this world without any friction, without any constraints, and it's just this idealized model that you use to understand the concept.
The reasonable person, it's through every area of law in the sense that you know, if you and I had a contract and we disagreed about what it meant, the court would ask, well, what would a reasonable person thought that that meant? And then the issue that we're raising in the symposium is, well, who could this reasonable person be? Now, is it a white person, a black person? Is it a female? Is it a male? Is, you know, what? How does gender, national origin, religion, sexual orientation play into that concept of a person, of what is really reasonable in any given legal situation? And how do we sort between people and societal standards, and how do we decide what level we want people to be held accountable to in our society? And so just addressing that in a lot of different situations. So that's why we have speakers that are going to talk about contracts, that are going to talk about criminal procedure, criminal law itself, and all different areas to kind of address how that concept and societal values play in all of our different areas of law.